Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you see all of us, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. You're tougher on me than anybody in this room. I know that. I know that I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment from you, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming today. I know some of you are coming out of fall break and some of you are moving into fall break depending on what school system you're in, but thanks for being here. I had a person ask me, they go, at your church, do you stand them up and sit them down, stand them up, sit them down? And I said, no, we just stand them up for a real long time. And then I said, then they sit down and take a nap. And I said, that's what usually happens at our church. I'm going to go today, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. We're going to go there. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy is not his biological son, but his son in the ministry. I have those people in my life, and I am now a spiritual father to a lot of younger pastors as well. And so Paul is writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. you know those who taught you. And you know that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We want to clue in on verse 14 where he begins this. And he's talking to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, I'm writing to you, but he's writing to us too. He said, I want you to continue in what you have learned, your faith that you have developed. I want you to, the word continue means remain. It means be rock solid in what you're doing. I want to take you to Paul, another writing of Paul, to the church of Colossae in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And I want you to see where he continues that same theme. I want you to see that. Therefore, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, just as ye were taught, overflowing with gratitude or overflowing with thanksgiving. Here, I don't know about you, but in both places, Paul is saying, continue your walk. Now, I'm going to talk about the culture that I grew up in, my context of culture in the church. It may be yours, but I grew up that we went through a church method. Like you make a profession of faith, whether it's during the week or that Sunday, then you make it public. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but they make it public, and then the church gives you the right hand of church fellowship. You know, everybody comes by and they welcome you in. Then it's a baptism. And usually in my context, baptism meant membership. I don't see that biblically. I see you in the family of God with baptism. But here, baptism is you're into the family of God. We have other things that connect you to our church, like new member training. But that was my context. You understand? You just did all that front end stuff. Like, I make my profession of faith public, there's the church, there's the baptism, and then I'm in, right? In my context, a lot of people just stop there. They just literally quit there. Now, they may have attended everything that we did, but that's just where they stopped. The maturity, the growth just wasn't there. And then we could blame the church and go, well, the church didn't offer enough. And then I can defend that and say, we offer it, you just don't show up for it. You know, we can get into that argument back and forth. But that's where a lot of people just stopped. You may come from another belief system where you went through confirmation. You went through catechism, the Didache. There's different things you went through to get to that point. And I'm just saying, from my observation, in my world, we got to that point and then we just quit. we didn't grow anymore. We didn't try to grow anymore. It's just I'm a member of the church, and then boom, this is where we are. I'm saying this out of my context, okay? That I've seen people in church make decisions that only a lost person could make. You got to think through that statement. They weren't godly wisdom. They weren't godly wisdom responses. They weren't kingdom responses. And it would just become infuriating to try to lead that and lead people who are not trying to mature in the Lord and not to mature in being kingdom fit where the Lord is using you. So that was my context and my culture. It may not be yours, but then again, it may be yours. But here's what I want to tell you and give you a challenge. You don't know everything when you come to Christ. You just know Christ. And you're going, well, isn't that all I need to know? Absolutely. But you need to mature in him. Philippians 2 says, have the mind of Christ. I literally can mature to have the mind of Christ. And then that's not going to happen all of a sudden. So here's the picture that I want you to get. Whether you hear it on a Sunday morning or you listen to somebody else, whatever you do, your Bible studies, whatever it is, your own personal study, whatever you may be doing, your own devotion time, if you're learning something new, then you need to add it to your walk. As you learn it, add it. Put it in there. You're not going to know. I know a guy that loves the Lord, and I remember when he was saved, and his testimony now is when he was saved, he didn't know the difference between Genesis and jelly beans, you know? He just knew he came to Christ, and he just wanted to learn. So when you learn it, you need to add it. Like, for example, Julie and I try to practice a first fruits living life, and that has to do with giving. And in that picture, you may have heard, I've never heard of first fruits. Well, it's in the Old Testament. And it is a picture of we give to the Lord off of the first of what we earn, not later on. We don't do that. So an old country preacher gave an illustration of that. He had 10 $1 bills and he laid them on the stage. He had people come from the congregation and he said, which dollar bill do you give to the Lord? And so people were picking a dollar bill out of the middle, and he said, all of you've got it wrong. He said, first fruit living is you take the very first dollar and give it to him. And the picture of this in the Old Testament is that when people had livestock, when their first calf was born, then they offered that calf to the Lord, not knowing if any of the other calves were going to be born. Our thinking, well, let me get 10 calves and then I'll give one of them to the Lord. First fruit living doesn't work that way. First fruit living goes, I give him the first of what I do. In other words, we give to the Lord before we pay our utility bills. The Lord gets his first. Now, you're going, I thought we were in a wisdom series, and then I've slipped in about money and tithing in here somehow, right? I'm just saying, when you learn it, add it. As you go into Scripture, you even hear something today, and the Holy Spirit gives you that gentle nudge. In my life, it's not a nudge. It's usually a headlock. And it's like, you need to add this to your life. So if I learn it, then I add it. And a lot of us have just gone through that early church method of getting to the place where I'm a member of a church and we sit and soak and we don't grow, we don't mature in the Lord. You wonder what's happening. The Lord says, try it out. try this out. Even test me on this, is what he would be able to say. So you want an attitude to be able to learn it and to be able to add it. And then you're going, well, why? What's the big deal of that? Why does Paul say in Colossians, as you have received Christ Jesus, go back to verse 6 if you will, as you have received Christ Jesus, walk in him, because the insinuation is there, they came to Christ and they stopped. And then he knows this can happen to Timothy in verse 14. He said, Timothy, You need to continue in what you have learned. As you learn it, then be able to add it there. And you're going, why? The continue means you're standing rock solid. The answer to that is 2 Timothy 3:12-13, the verses that are previous to this. Paul says to Timothy, and he's teaching Timothy right. He needs to be honest. He says, in fact, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Guys, let me just tell you something. This world's never going to applaud you and me. Do you understand that? They're not going to give us a ticker tape parade. It's never going to happen. I just want you to know in the past, we've been persecuted. We'll be, and we get all up in arms, like, look, what's going to happen to the church? We'll be persecuted now, and we'll be persecuted in the future. Get out of this worldview that the world is happy to see you. Okay? If you're not in his word, you will get to thinking that people ought to be happy that I'm trying to engage the Christian life. Well, the one who's behind the world can't stand the Christian life. So there's never going to be an applause for that. Never. So get if you're thinking that we should be more accepted, it's not going to happen. But we've got to stand strong, as Paul wrote to Timothy, as Paul wrote to the church of Colossians. You have surrendered to Christ, then stand strong in him. Why? Because you'll be persecuted. Verse 13, evil people and imposters will become worse. They are deceived, and they will deceive other people. That's going to be able to happen. We walk into that. You know, I know the first person that people probably don't want to see is always see the preacher. But it becomes a picture, is we're not going to be a favorite. So you and I, we've got to grow. We've got to grow and mature in the Lord. As you grow in the Lord and you learn it, the intent is for you to be able to add it. And it says in verse 14, go to verse 14 if you will, that you have done this, continue in it, Timothy, in what you've learned, you firmly believe, and you know those people who have taught you. I want you to look at 2 Timothy 1, verses 11 and 12 for just a moment. We're going to go back to the first chapter. Paul writes this, and I love this. I love how this all mixes together. So let me just, I'm not going to stop because I love the way it blends. I remember old hymns that used to have that in it growing up as a boy. It says, for this gospel I was appointed, Paul, this is Paul to Timothy again, for this gospel I was appointed a herald, apostle, and a teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. You remember verse 12 and 13? You'll be persecuted, and evil is there, and it's going to continue, and it's going to get worse, and they're deceived, and they're going to deceive others. That is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been committed or entrusted to me until that day. I stand in that. I'm absolutely convinced that I'm in the grip of God. Julie and I have this weird relationship, I don't mean personally, but we have this weird phone relationship. I have no idea how this happens in our life. I don't. I'm not IT enough to figure this out. But I don't know if we've got the same Apple ID on our phones or whatever, but when we're together, we'll get the same phone call. Like, you could call me and it's going to call her phone too. And that can happen with text. And now when we're apart, when we're not in the house together, I can talk to somebody, but it'll come up on her phone that I've talked to them, you know? And it really, I've left it alone. It's a great accountability tool. I'm being honest with you. That's just the way I use it. I can't figure it out, but that's just the way it is. So we have this weird phone relationship. And it gets funny because we still will run over each other. I'll run over you. So will Julie. She's not very big. we'll run over people to get a phone call from our kids. We will do that. Now, we call them, and they're like, eh. You know, we get screened. You know what I'm saying? They could care. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you're talking about rejection. That's just huge rejection. If our kids are calling us, we'll just scramble in. In fact, it was funny yesterday. Laura was trying to call us, and she couldn't get us. And she called her big brother. Mom and Dad okay? And I just kind of liked that. I was like, I'm going to start teasing her with that, you know, and just not, I'm going to screen her, you know, and let her call us back, you know, but we'll run over each other to get that phone call. In fact, when we're apart, when we're not in the house together, one of us can talk to Laura, like she can be talking to Laura, and it'll come up on my phone that she talked to Laura. Or I could be talking to Laura, and it comes up on her phone that I have, and she'll go, did you call Laura today? Yeah, well, you talked for 22 minutes. What did you all talk about? You know, and I was like, well, and then being a dodo guy, heck, I can't even half remember what we talked about, you know? But it's a good way to be able to check back and forth. So our photos do the same thing. Yours may happen. It just may be an iCloud sync or whatever. I don't know. Don't really care. So I was going through, I do maintenance on our pictures. And Julie has just been taking pictures of the Aurora Borealis like crazy. She's out snapping all these pictures, which are beautiful. So I was going through our pictures, doing a little maintenance on them. And I came across this. Julie had this on this picture here. And I told her yesterday, I said, I'm going to use that today. I'd already seen it during the week. And Julie does this and then sends it to people, like a devotion. She'll send it to folks. And she sent this to a lady. And you may not know who Corrie ten Boom is, and I'm sure you've already read the little quote there, but Corrie ten Boom, to a younger generation, you probably don't know who she is. If you want a good read, read a book called The Hiding Place, or see the movie called The Hiding Place. And it was Corrie ten Boom's a great woman of faith. And that book and that movie kind of brought her some notoriety of during the Holocaust, they were hiding people from the Nazi regime. And then a little later, she and her family, part of her family, were put into concentration camps. You talk about a woman of faith. But look at that quote. Look at that quote. She says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. But you got to know him. We have settled, folks, for just joining a church. And then we've just quit. Paul would look at us and go, walk in him. Continue to walk in him. Because the days are going to get difficult. Walk in him. Learn him. You learn it at it. If you learn it, add it to your life over and over and over again. It becomes a picture of what Paul just said. I'm convinced that he is going to handle what I have committed to him, even on that day. So back to verse 14, Paul has talked about all the people that Timothy has learned from. He said, you have learned, you firmly believe, you've learned from, you know those who taught you, which he's referring to Timothy's mother. We find that in Scripture. And Timothy's grandmother. Timothy's dad was not a believer. So his faith in Christ came from his grandmother and from his mother. And then came from Paul himself and even other people. Guys, you're not going to get it all on Sunday morning from me or any other preacher that you're under. You're not going to get it all. You'll get some things, and when you learn it, you add it. You learn it, you add it. You need to put it into the test of who the Lord is on that, and he will show himself faithful to that. But you learn from other people. I've certainly had Pauls in my life, and I've become a Paul to other people in their lives. We've certainly welcomed other people to speak into the life of our own children, Andrew and Laura. And it just continues on. I guess I got on money for a moment, but generosity. I learned generosity from a guy named Rabin Smith down in Russell County, the gateway to Lake Cumberland, and Charles Humpston, who's now with the Lord. Those two men taught me generosity. And let me explain to you the conflict that I could have with generosity. In my thinking, away from Scripture, my own logic, I thought that to be generous, you had to be wealthy. And you're wealthy and you just give in your overflow. Some of you may believe that. That is not the biblical picture of generosity. When I pastored in Russell Springs, First Baptist Russell Springs, we had a guy that he and his wife, they went to Transkei, South Africa, planted a church. And his name was John Wilson. Marge was his wife's name. And they came back. They were over there a few years. And he sent me back a picture. I thought this was funny. He said the deacons helped him with baptism. And I thought, well, man, that's great, you know, that they do that. So he's in this river baptizing. And it's a pretty swift current. And he's got deacons downstream in case the candidate for baptism floats away. And then he's got a deacon upstream that's got these big palm branches beating off the crocodiles while they baptize it. So I was like, yeah, that's okay. We'll just stick to our tub. You know, I mean, that's we'll just stick to that. So John comes home, and in his office, he had a, you know, the mason jars that had the green tint to them? You know, this is a different tint. And he had a jar, and it had corn in it, kernels of corn in it. And he had it displayed on his shelf. And I said, John, what is that? And he goes, when we left, they planted this church. I believe the name of it was Norwood Church there in Lady Frere, Transkei, South Africa. But he said, we left and people came up and gave us gifts. And he said, we had won this family to Christ. And said, they brought this jar of corn. And he goes, that doesn't mean anything to you. And I said, well, it means enough for me to ask a question. And he said, this is their next year's seed corn for their family. This is the corn that they would plant now that's going to produce everything it needs to produce for them for their family next year. And he said, the greatest thing you've done for us is you've told me about Christ and how to trust him. And this is so they gave basically his family's livelihood for the next year as a gift for the gift of Christ that he has given him. If we're not careful, we'll think generosity happens in our overflow. But I've learned that generosity happens. You don't have to be wealthy to be generous. And I can think that in my logic that I need to be wealthy to be generous, but when I go to the Word of God, it doesn't say that at all. It says to be generous. Learn to be generous. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? When we learn it, then we add it. We learn it, then we add it. So there's consistency. He's telling Timothy, be consistent. So what are my family and my friends and what are other people going to learn from me? What are they going to learn from me? How are they going to learn anything when it comes to that? So we allow others to speak into our life, and then we also, we are allowed to speak into the lives of others. Look at verse 15. He's talking about Scripture. He said, Timothy, you've known the Scripture from your childhood, and it's sacred, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ. Scripture was alive to him, and Scripture is alive, and it is active, and we'll get to that in a moment. When you encounter the Word of God, you're encountering something. It's not just words and chapters and verses. It has life in it. The Scripture in Hebrews says that it separates the soul and the spirit. It judges the heart of man. It's able to go to places where nothing else can ever go. And so he's talking about Scripture here. Look at 3 John verses 1 and 4. Thank you. It says, I have no greater joy than this than to hear that my children are walking in truth. And when we minister to children here, we want them walking in God's truth and knowing it, not just the Bible story so they can play a game and get all the answers right. We want children walking in truth much younger than we did. So there's great joy is that I hear that my children are walking in truth. This verse 15, back to verse 15, you're going, well, we're in a wisdom series. Where does any of this have to do with wisdom? Great question. He says, and you know that from childhood, you have known the scriptures, the sacred, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ. You see that phrase, which are able to instruct you? The word instruct means wise. It's sophizo. And it is meaning wise. That Paul is not only saying that you had a mother who taught you faith, and you had a grandmother who taught you faith, and that I am teaching you faith in Christ, and others are too, but he said, Timothy, don't forget there's another teacher in your life, and that teacher is Scripture itself. It makes you wise. It makes you wise. Guys, if you're not in it, if you're not in his word, then you're going to come up with your own logical reasoning. You're going to go, well, this is surely what it means. You're going to get to a place where it's instructing you, making you wise. It's God's wisdom, it's God's will, and it's God's way. And I want you to see where Paul even says the sacred scriptures. Julie and I had the privilege for a number of years, I'm thinking 12, it could be less, you'll know exactly. We taught for Gideon's International. We can't be Gideon's because we're a pastor couple, but Gideon's is only for business and professional people, men and women. So we teach. So their international convention is always in the United States. This last summer, it was in Phoenix, a real cool 115 degrees. We were at Phoenix one time with them, but people come in from all over the world. Gideon's all over the world come in. We'll be in Birmingham, we'll be in Anaheim, we'll be in Orlando, we'll be in Dallas, we'll be in Atlanta. We'll be at different places. So we would go there and teach. Julie and I had the university class. So there are times I needed interpreters because it's not that they didn't understand English, they just don't understand country, you know? They needed to understand country, and it was fun to teach them country sayings too. It was a lot of fun. I remember one time very distinctly. We were in a class, and we're with them from 7 o'clock in the morning to basically 9 o'clock at night. And we have teaching times that you're able to go to your room and get a shower and go eat supper, but you come back and we have teaching times all through the week and through the day. I remember one time we were in a Bible study, and these two sisters were from the Middle East, and they were Christians. Their dad was a Gideon, and their mother was in the women's auxiliary of Gideon's. And I was teaching, and they raised their hand, said, can we stop for a moment? I said, sure. And they said, there's just something I need to ask of you. And I said, what's that? And she looked around in the room, and typically the American kids had all their Bibles on the floor, laying on the floor. And you and I would probably not think much of that. And I don't want to get to the leather-bound part of this as being idolatrous. But when they grew up in the Islamic faith, and the Quran held the highest point of their house. In other words, no other book could be placed higher. And I don't mean theoretically, I mean like on a shelf, that the Quran had to be at a higher point than any other book in their house. If there was ever a book above it, then they would just switch it. And so these girls are Christians, but the culture they grew up in revered Scripture. And so they saw it laying on the floor. You with me? Y'all know, you get that picture? Yes, and they're going, and they stopped my Bible study, ours, and they said, can you ask them to pick that up? We can't continue any further with Scripture being, and of course it was the American kids that had their Bible, and we're in a Bible study, and they don't even have their Bibles. You understand what I'm saying? Their Bibles were open. Ours are on the ground. And I'll never forget that. And so I asked them, let's do what they ask. Let's pick them up. I'll never forget that. Because even in their house now, the sacred scriptures are at a place. And I'm not telling you that's what you need to do. But you see the culture that they came from and what the scriptures meant to them. One would be deceiving, and then the Word of God would be bringing forth life to them. So Paul is saying, you've had teachers, your mom, your grandmother, me, and others, but you need to understand you also have another teacher, and that is Scripture itself. We teach this in new member training. When you're encountering the Word of God, it's food, not facts. And what we have done is we've taken the Word of God to become factual and informative, and it's food. Jesus says, I have food that is not of this world. The food that I have is not the food that your body needs. In fact, we see it as food, not fact, that when you're not in the Word of God, it ought to be like you have missed a meal. That it's so much food to us that you've missed something to eat. And so the wisdom here in verse 15 is the word instruct. It's able to make you wise about salvation that comes through Christ and the work of Christ and in our faith that is in him. Look at verse 16. I told you earlier that the Word of God is alive. This proves it. All Scripture is inspired by God, and the word inspired means breathed or breath. It is God's breath. In Genesis 2:7, he breathed life into us and gave us a living soul. He's breathed life. It's his breath when we encounter the Word of God. So Scripture brings wisdom, and wisdom is profitable. If you're in business, you need to make a profit. And if this will help you, the word profit means more. It can mean more. And it says the Word of God, all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's gonna bring more to your life. Absolutely gonna bring more to your life. For teaching, it's gonna bring teaching to you, it's going to be rebuking to you, meaning he's going to absolutely, sometimes the Word of God just says, quit doing it. I mean, the mood that it's written in just says, stop it. Whatever, if you're doing this, then stop it. Then it gets to a point of correction where he tweaks your life, or then it gets to a point of righteousness. He teaches you that what you're doing is on the right way. Verse 17, it has a result. And the result is that you are a person of God that's complete, equipped. I call it kingdom fit. You're conditioned. You've got a worldview that the world doesn't like me anyway, and it doesn't. That's why some of us get taken back by things that may be happening in our nation, is I'm not expecting it to be fun-loving to the Church of Christ, really, if you really want to know the truth about it. But it makes you kingdom fit for every good work. You know, and his work is good, and he gets glory for it. In Galatians 6:9, you need, Paul writes this, so we must not get tired of doing what is good, for we will reap at proper time, we'll harvest at the right time if we don't give up. So do good. This is gonna be a little funny, so hang on with me on this. There was a lady in our church, and she's moved away now, and she was like, I just don't feel like I can do anything, you know, like I do anything for the Lord. So we were talking. I said, what do you like to do? And she goes, I like to bake stuff. And I said, well, hello, you know? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, when you, and I was pastoring her, guiding her. I said, when you, God puts somebody on your mind, why don't you just bake them something and take it to it? And one Sunday morning, true story, in this building, she had baked this coconut cream pie, and the meringue on it was tall. You want a corny joke? This is just on the side. You know what a pie and my finger have in common? They both have meringue on it. That's free of charge, by the way. Okay? So she came down the altar. She came down the altar with this pie. She literally brought it down to the altar. And we had a different staff then, John Bales and Drew Causey, and they're like, oh, you know. And they go, we love the pie lady. And I go, no. So I had to instruct them. I said, you don't love the pie lady. You just love people and you'll get pie. It'd be wrong just to love the pie lady, because that's got a bad motive behind it. You see what I'm saying? So you just love people and you get pie. So we got a call in the last 2 weeks. A lady called us in our neighborhood, phenomenal cook, baker. And she called us and she goes, you love pumpkin spice. And I said, oh, I do. And I am one of those when it comes to the fall of the year. I'm one of those people. In fact, I sent Amy and Logan, there's pumpkin spice communion bread. And I went, yes, please. I sent them a picture. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know, right? I'm into corny right now, so I'll get off of it. And so she called us, and she had this pumpkin spice cheesecake, cream cheese, and layered. And then she had homemade pumpkin spice whipped cream on top of it. I mean, the thing weighed 10 pounds. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I could have broken my truck window with it if I'd have thrown it at it, you know? And so we brought it home, and we're just like, you know. And so I saw her, I thanked her, and she does it for a ministry. She really does do that. She writes little notes on things, and I even encouraged her in that some time ago to do that. And so she calls the other day. She goes, I got some pumpkin bread. You want some pumpkin bread? I'm going, yeah. And then she called that night. She called, are you there? Are you at the house? Yeah. She goes, come up here a minute. And I thought, well, something's wrong. And so she had a banana caramel cake. Hang on. And then she had a pumpkin cake on top of it. So I'm bringing home two cakes and a loaf of pumpkin bread. And so I didn't know if the Lord was blessing me or testing me, you know? Because we don't need all that. You know, I'm just saying we don't need it. And so we were able to give some of it away. We gave some of it, even as people didn't know. Julie had cut some of it up to give to our kids last night, to Andrew and Maria. And so they forgot it. She forgot it. And I was like, you're lost, you know. Sorry, I'm not driving back to Wilmore. But my point in that, this lady that I talked about earlier that brought the pie to the altar, and this other lady, that's just the way they bless people. They blessed us. We didn't keep it all. It was delicious what we had, but we didn't keep it all. And even with her blessing us, we blessed other people as well. Do you just, guys, listen to me. I want you to look at me. This in Vacation Bible School, give me your eyes. Don't wait for me to bring up something in housekeeping. I will bring stuff up. I'll bring things up this fall for us to do. There's ministry going on next Sunday with Sunrise. We will do some of that. Will you just pay attention this week and do good work for Him? And don't get weary in it. You'll get I'm not getting any recognition. When I read God's word, he says that he gave Daniel a spirit of excellence. And he will you. But it's not to exalt me to the top. If I choose a position, what does the word of God tell me to choose? Last. I can have a spirit of excellence and still be last. Don't hold other people higher than you hold yourself. It's what the word of God says. And that brings wisdom in life so that he gets the glory. So don't, I'm going to give you things to do, but guys, just pay attention. Just pay attention. That's all I'm asking. If you learn it, add it. Find a way to bless somebody this week And no, we don't need any more cake, okay? If you fix it, give it to somebody else. But you see what I'm saying? Don't wait for me to give you permission or approval or even coach speak to get you ready to go out there and get it. Just bless people. Find one or two people this week to bless and watch how the kingdom of God reacts to that. Watch how that, are you all with me? You can do this. And so don't grow weary in doing good. Go back to that last verse, 17. So that the person of God may be complete, kingdom fit, equipped for every good work. And don't grow weary in doing good. You're going to go, I'm not being recognized. It's not about you being recognized. He gets the glory for that. He gets that. Is anybody going to bless me? Just love people and you'll get pie. Yeah, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you'll get two cakes and pumpkin bread all in the same day. And just live it. You learn it, you add it. And God gives us wisdom. Not how am I going to be blessed? Because I think that's our dilemma. How am I going to be blessed when God is saying, go bless other people and you will be blessed. I will exalt you in due time, he says. I will do that. Amen? You all with me? Are you just amening for today?
No, sir.
Learn it, add it. Grow, mature in the Lord. Stand, the days are evil. They're not going to applaud Hope Church or any other church. They're not going to applaud Nineveh Church or Open Bible Church or Central Church down the road or Farmdale next to us. They're not going to applaud us. We're a threat. But you do it in the Spirit of God and things are going to happen. And I pray that you commit to that. You have teachers. I have teachers. But the Word of God, Scripture, itself is a teacher so that you'll be wise in the things of God. Okay? You commit that today? Let's be blessed in that. Let me pray over you, okay? Father, I thank you for our people. We're here. Lord, we live busy lives. Sometimes we're running too much. But even in our busyness, you can use us to be a blessing to other people. You do all this, you mature all this for a reason, and that's to stand in these evil days. And not only to stand, you do what you do in us and equip us so that we will do your good work. And Lord, you tell us not to grow weary in doing good, that you will bring a harvest to what we are accomplishing through you. So Father, I pray over our people today. They will become wise in your word and wise in their walk in their life. And they will be equipped for the good work. Teach them, Lord, how to bless people, even today in any of these days that follow. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Church, would you stand up? Will you do that? And counselors, would you find your spot? Will you come here and do that as well? The team's going to lead us. I don't know what you need to commit to the Lord today. If you need to just surrender to the Lord today, come. Surrender your life to him today. The invitation is, whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.